top five situations that stress us out at work. Somehow my boss figuring out I could be replaced by a robot or a highly intelligent animal like a monkey with glasses didn't make the list. All right, when they realize they've made a mistake, you get all stressed out at work. When they have a huge workload, during a conflict like getting chewed out by the boss or having to fire someone, I had to do that a few times, right before a big deadline, and during presentations or important meetings. I can't believe being replaced by a monkey with glasses didn't stress him out. My boss told me that. I think I'd be a little stressed out. 7 o'clock on the noggin. Denise Lockwood is here. We're going to talk about her times at the RNC and DNC conventions in Milwaukee and Chicago. That's coming up in just a moment right here at WRJN. Keep it here. It's News Time.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. Receive Kenosha.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with controversy growing over former President Donald Trump and a visit to Arlington National Cemetery Monday to remember 13 U.S. service members killed during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Defense officials tell CBS News Trump staffers became aggressive when they were told federal law prohibits campaign-related activities, including photographs at the burial ground. Correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, downplayed the incident.
The altercation at Arlington Cemetery is the media creating a story where I really don't think that there is one.
And he tried to make it about Vice President Harris.
She wants to yell at Donald Trump because he showed up. She can go to hell.
Harris hasn't commented on the incident. The FBI has released a new report on the assassination attempt on Donald Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania last month. It calls the rally a target of opportunity and says it has not uncovered the motive of 20-year-old gunman Thomas Crooks. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The FBI released an image of two explosives Crooks kept in his car nearby, but which hadn't been turned into the on position.
Crooks killed by a Secret Service sniper. The former president makes stops in battleground Michigan and Wisconsin today. Harris wraps up a two-day bus tour through Georgia. Yesterday, she spoke to high school students in rural Hinesville.
Your generation, all that you guys stand for, everything you have at stake is what is going to propel our country.
She and her running mate Tim Walz sit for their first joint interview today. We're getting new details on the foiled terror plot at Taylor Swift's concerts in Vienna this month.
They were plotting to kill a huge number, tens of thousands of people at this concert.
CIA Deputy Director David Cohen says the Austrians were able to disrupt the planning and arrest the suspects because
the agency and our partners in the intelligence community provided them information about what this ISIS-connected group was planning to do.
That information led to four arrests. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Israel says the IDF has killed five men it identifies as terrorists on the second day of a massive military operation in the occupied West Bank. The head of the West Bank's Red Crescent.
I'm very much worried. The bombing that comes, this reminds us of Gaza.
The CDC says at least nine people have now died after eating tainted deli meat from Boar's Head. 88-year-old Sue Fleming among the hospitalized.
I've never been so sick in all my life.
Federal records show dozens of violations at a Boar's Head plant. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The operating system in Racine County is now more dedicated to Microsoft. The company has secured approval from the Mount Pleasant Village Board to build an additional 2 million square feet of data center space. It's slated for a 791-acre site along Braun Road. The expansion will nearly double the company's current development plans. It'll bring their total data center footprint in the area to almost 4.5 million square feet. The project is part of Microsoft's $3.3 billion data center campus investment in Mount Pleasant. The city of Racine is mourning the loss of former Mayor Jim Smith. He served for 18 years as an alderman and mayor. In a social media post, current mayor Corey Mason is expressing his sadness and is ordering flags to be flown at half staff in honor of Smith's legacy. And while the DOT is temporarily suspending work for the Labor Day weekend, several major roads in southeastern Wisconsin will still be disrupted. In Milwaukee County, drivers should anticipate closures and lane reductions on 43, 894, and 32. Those traveling in Racine, Walworth, and Washington counties will encounter various road closures and detours due to roundabout construction, bridge replacements, and resurfacing projects. Check 511 for the latest on road conditions. According to AAA, peak travel times are expected today between 1 and 7:30, tomorrow between 2 and 6, and 11 and 8 on Monday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Big inning leads to a big win in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. The Brewers used a five-run fifth inning to win 5-3 over the San Francisco Giants Wednesday night. William Contreras hit a two-run home run in the inning, while Freddy Peralta struck out eight in six innings of work as Milwaukee climbed to 20 games over 500. The series finale is Thursday afternoon. The Green Bay Packers cut their roster down to 53 this week, including making some big decisions at kicker and running back. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it's disappointing to lose A.J. Dillon for the season.
Yeah, it's really discouraging because we had a pretty clear vision for what he could do. And it wasn't just going to be as a runner. I thought the versatility was what I was most excited about.
The Packers open the season a week from tomorrow against the Eagles in Brazil. And the Wisconsin Badgers kick off their football season tomorrow night against Western Kentucky at 8 p.m. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens is sponsored hourly by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Learn more online at paysbig.com.
Partly cloudy today, our high 77 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, some thunderstorms late tonight, our low 70. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, then clearing by late afternoon with a high of 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
I took my nephews to Disneyland. Wow. You know, in the Midwest, we always went to Disney World. Much better. Disneyland, after being there for about 4 hours, I completely hit the wall, and I thought, boy, I'd like a beer. Well, I couldn't find one. So finally, I just asked this vendor lady. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, is there anywhere I could get a beer or a glass of wine? You would have thought I asked for 8-ball crack cocaine. I've never seen anyone react like that. Ma'am, there's no alcohol at Disneyland. I'm like, well, my ticket says it's the happiest place on earth. So I think we have a problem. And I would like to speak to Goofy, and I'm not kidding.
Hey, look who's here in person, live, all the way from Racine, Wisconsin. It's Denise Lockwood. Founder of Racine County Eye. How are things going at the, I was going to say the paper, but it's not a paper. How are things going at the new, see, that's how old I am.
You don't know what to say.
Yeah, because that's how old I am, because whenever somebody comes in from the news, it's always, how are things at the paper doing? If you're not in radio and TV, you know, my entire life has been radio. How are things going at Racine County Eye?
There you go. That is a very diplomatic way. See, no, it's great. Actually, it's really great. We've really increased we've upped our game quite a bit, and that's because I've been able to hire some really good talent. Heather Asiambi, who I started the news website with, is full time with me now. Which, shout out to Heather. Hey, you know, at the end of the day, It's really good, but there's a lot of work going on right now. A lot. So we have our work cut out for us.
I'll ask you something off the air. I thought I heard somebody important in Racine passed away, and I could be wrong because I was half listening. And I got to ask Stuart if he said that. I'll ask you off the
Jim
air.
Jim Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Passed away?
Yeah. In fact, I...
I thought I heard.
Yeah, Jim Smith passed away, the former mayor of Racine, and we're going to be working on things if we haven't already, because I just got back from Ohio, right?
So, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
but briefly, we're not going to, because I know you're very emotional.
No, it'll make me cry. It will.
So, yeah, Jim Smith, him and his wife Joyce, when we have our tickets, we have season tickets to the Racine Theater Guild. Mm. Their dates they chose coincide with ours for years. So when I sit, you know, in my seats, I could see them in the front row all the time. Jim said, I always waved to him, say hello to them. Oh, he passed away, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. That's what I thought I heard, but I was walking down the hallway. Did I hear right? And I don't want to say anything on the radio just in case, you know, he's listening.
I got you.
He did a debate here once when he was running for re-election. Mark Eichhorst was challenging him. Mark Eichhorst didn't work here at the time, but he was challenging him. And we actually had the debate. We actually have a studio in the basement, if you can believe it. We have a conference room with microphones that could be plugged in. And we did the debate live on the air with Jim Smith and Mark Eichhorst downstairs. It was kind of neat. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a loss.
Every time somebody passes away, it's always like, more of my life is...
I'm getting to that age. You're older than me, but I understand completely.
And, you know, especially Hollywood stars, you hear...
I grew up knowing them, watching them, hearing them, laughing with them.
I'll tell you, the first time I got really spooked was when Barack Obama was president and I was older than him. I said, oh my goodness, I'm older than the
president. Perspective, yeah.
Yeah, because you always think that the president's older than you. You can always look at him, well, he's a statesman. I'm older. I could say to Barack Obama, respect your elders. Oh no. Anyway, so you were at the convention, the RNC and the DNC. Yeah. And was it easy to get in, get passes and stuff to get into that thing?
The actually getting the passes is quite a process because you have to be vetted by the Secret Service. You have to, there's parking, there's whether or not you want a desk, and, you know, the RNC charges, but the DNC doesn't for desks. And, you know, there's... It's a lot.
Were you on Media Row? Or you just
I wasn't in Media Row.
A roving reporter.
Well, and they have desks set up for permanent, so that media can watch the speakers, and then during the day they have the caucus meetings, and it's really fascinating to be at the caucus meetings because you get to hear the policy, and I'm a policy nerd, so. That's where my heart is. But at the end of the day, you can really get a sense of where the party is going, what they feel are the challenges, what are their successes, how would they solve problems. And it's really an interesting experience to be able to be in the room where it happened, right?
Now, we always see on TV, if you watch, these skyboxes. All the networks have these giant skyboxes.
Right.
Which are the luxury skyboxes that they use for the basketball games there. Now, Media Row, where is Media Row? Is it tucked away in the hallway somewhere?
You know, that's a really good question because I was not on Media Row, so I don't know where. I think it was outside the venue, I believe, but quite frankly, we didn't participate only because I got the timing wrong and they weren't letting anyone else.
Well, because Civic Media, our company, was on Media Row and both. They had this nice setup with a nice backdrop and everything.
Yeah.
And which is really interesting for radio to have a nice backdrop. But they did video there, live streams.
There was so much media. Like the media. So at the DNC, they actually had a separate area where media could go if they couldn't get in because there was so much media. They had us at the Advocate Center, so you could kind of tap in, tap out.
Now, this is Milwaukee.
No, this was in Chicago.
Okay.
So it was the Chicago Bulls Training Center is the Advocate Center.
Yeah.
So they had quite a few media there, and then they also had inside, so you could have what they call a press stand, so you could have just a desk and a phone, internet hookup, and all of that good stuff. And so we were in kind of media gen pop kind of thing.
Did you meet anybody famous when you were there?
I was very close to Chuck Todd when I was. We were on the floor when
Are they stuck up, those big TV people?
You know, they are who they are, right? So
like, I don't put my pants on one leg at a time, like
no,
you.
No, but you know what's funny is I was standing right during roll call. They were shutting down the floor. I was on the floor during roll call, which was really interesting at the DNC. And the woman, there's a woman there from CNN, and she was bebopping and dancing with them. And I was like, oh, okay, we're doing that.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
We had two different kinds of roll calls. Now, the roll calls I always remember watching conventions growing up, you'd have some woman up there, and she would read the list of states. She would say, Tennessee. And The great state of Tennessee, home of the Falls, the Volunteers, right. The state that has...
It was a show.
Yeah, the state with the state with a great river, the state with the Country Music Hall of Fame, the state with... And then they finally get around to saying, you know, 32 votes for our favorite son and 100 for the next president of the United States. At the Democratic convention, it was like... You were in, I hate to use the word disco because I'm dating myself, but it was like you were in a nightclub.
Right. It was, and so they would have the DJ, and they would call out the state and say, you know, how would you answer? And they would, the person, or they would sometimes have two or three people talking about their reason for backing the nominee. And they would then have, sometimes they would have music. Like Little John was the guy who came down and started
down the aisles,
singing. And so that was really, actually the energy was just through the roof. And you were saying that on TV, it didn't translate well, but being on the floor these people were just so happy and energetic and passionate and hopeful. You know, that was a word I heard all through the whole week, was hopeful and directed, and they felt like they were a path forward. And so we were at a couple of the Wisconsin delegate breakfasts in the morning. And so they started pretty early. So I was with Heather Asiambi, who I started the news website with, and she and I would take the train in, and then we would be in the media pool.
So you didn't stay there overnight?
No, we stayed at her uncle's house. So it was a pretty fun little setup.
Oh, you mooched over there. I see you visited over there.
But you know, the hotels were $350 a night.
But that's nothing for a media magnate like you.
Thanks, Fred.
Just put it on your expense report.
Sure. Yeah. No, I had to fundraise to be able to do this. But I think one of the things that I wanted to also talk a little bit about is, why did we go?
Okay, hold that thought.
All right.
Why did we go to the RNC and the DNC? Denise Lockwood, Racine County I is here at 717 at WRJN Local News, Timeless Hits.
This Labor Day Sunday, be part of a time-honored tradition to support our wounded veterans. Southern Wisconsin All Airborne Chapter proudly presents its 21st annual car show from 8 to 3 at Petrifying Springs Park. Gear up for classic cars, tasty food at the beer garden, live music, and thrilling raffles like the 50-50. Also, don't miss the special ceremony at noon that honors severely wounded warriors. Spend this Labor Day Sunday with family, friends, and fellow car enthusiasts. 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Petrifying Springs Park.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Everybody knows, if it's summer season, it's festival season. And Pottawatomie has the winningest one, WinFest. You could make it an awesome August with a share of $500,000. Play with your rewards card for entries. Hourly drawings every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. 25 grand in cash and prizes each drawing. It's the $500,000 WinFest. Get in on the fun, only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. More info at paysbig.com. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play.
Is your backyard feeling a little blah? Let Runnings in Burlington help create your personal oasis. Everything you need to add comfort and style to your home. Top-notch grills for family barbecues, cozy patio furniture perfect for unwinding, high-quality mowers and tools to keep your space looking sharp. And for your pets, we have everything to keep them happy and healthy. Visit Runnings in Burlington today on Milwaukee Avenue and let them enhance your home and outdoor life. Runnings, your trusted partner for all your home, farm, and outdoor needs.
Classic pizzas, golden fried chicken, hot sandwiches. Ferraro's in Racine satisfies every lunch and dinner craving. August brings the ultimate fusion with the cheeseburger pizza. Juicy beef, melted cheese, and red onions in a signature sauce. Topped with pickles and a special dressing. Also, check out Ferraro's assortment of frozen pizzas. Ideal for a quick meal, special occasion, or as a delicious solution for your group's next fundraiser. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you.
During every Brewers home game, fans will have the chance to win the all-new 2024 Toyota Tacoma, courtesy of your Wisconsin Toyota dealers. Visit brewers.com/Toyota to enter.
Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
WRJN, proud to be a civic media station. And now that WRJN is more focused locally on Racine with local news and timeless hits, we invite you to find all of your favorite civic media shows and hosts on the Civic Media app or by tuning to 540 AM WAUK. Earl Ingram, Jane Matinair, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn are all still there and easy to find by simply twisting the dial. And while you're here, we hope you'll keep your button set on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and the historic 1400 AM as we refresh with local news and timeless hits. WRJN.
Denise Lockwood is here from Racine County Eye, and we're talking about the RNC, the DNC, and here's where we left off. Why did we go? That's a good question. Why did you go?
Yeah, because
you can watch it
like,
on TV and listen on radio.
Right. Well, and the reason why, you know, Heather and I had a really big conversation about why we wanted to go. And we were like, because the media, you know, kind of, it's really taken a hit over the last 20, 30 years. Like 80% of all of the newsrooms, corporate-owned newspapers are gone, right? And so the meat and potato journalism is largely done by local media when you're talking about policy and local. How does it impact me here? So it's not just about parroting back what people say, but really looking through the lens of the policies. And I'm a policy nerd. And at the end of the day, we decided there were three major buckets of story that we wanted to pull through the needle of how does this policy impact Racine County. And that was housing, immigration, and the economy, which also kind of includes education and things along that line. But how do we kind of absorb and make decisions regarding how we vote versus the policies that both parties have? Because I think there's a major void because we're so stuck on social media and the little sound bites that we hear, and that invokes an emotional response. But really thinking critically of how do we implement these policies into our lives, and they impact us in such a direct way. So when you're talking about things like immigration and our dependence on the workforce, specifically around agriculture and the manufacturing and construction, the hospitality industry, those are really big sectors that depend on immigration. And illegal immigration is definitely part of that as well. So how do we deal with these is really not a soundbite issue. And so Heather and I went specifically we wanted to absorb the platform, but also really kind of dig in on what some of the caucus meetings were talking about. But the problem and the difference that we had with the RNC and the DNC is a lot of the RNC meetings were closed to media. The DNC meetings were largely open to us. And that was one of the biggest things that we had.
So when they have these meetings, do you have to have a special invitation to get in, or just your media, I can get in?
Well, you have to, a lot of them, we have to register, and they just want to know who's in the room, right?
You have to pass a lot of security in that place?
Huge.
Constantly?
Huge. It's constantly.
And what do you have?
You checkpoint. Well, I had a whole, in fact, I actually have them with me in my bag.
That was issued by them?
Yeah. So Okay. There's a Secret Service, like a general, like you've been vetted, you know, your press. And that's a special yellow badge. So we both had that. And then there's the perimeter pass.
Oh, let me see.
And
that.
Then, yeah, it's that. Well, actually, you know what? I left in my car. Darn it.
Yeah. Oh, the old, yeah. I left it in my
so,
car.
No,
routine.
No, but it's in my
all
bag
right.
in my
all
car.
Right, we'll take it later.
But they also issue a perimeter pass so that you can get into the perimeter, because they literally put up all these blockades, and it's the barricades are massive, and I've never seen this much law enforcement, Secret Service in one area in my entire life, especially at the DNC. They must have had, just in the like two or three blocks, they must have had at least 300 people in uniform that were law enforcement. And it wasn't just police. It was Secret Service. It was Homeland Security. It was everybody was on deck.
So where do you sit down to relax if you don't have a booth, you don't, you're not a media row? Where do you sit down and take a break from all this chaos? I mean, where do you, is there a place?
There is, yeah. Okay. So there is a couple of places. The Advocate Center for the DNC was one of the places that we went. They had like a hospitality? Yeah. Well, I mean, they had couches and then they also had just long tables with places where we can plug in our computers, and then they would have
TVs. Oh, that's
TVs.
Right. You gotta keep plugging in that stuff. Yeah.
So that's where we spent. We only had one floor pass to get in, so each of us would have to tag team in.
Can you walk amongst all the delegates on the
floor? Yep. We were in the thick of it. It was really a cool thing. But I have a funny story. So
can you hold that funny story?
Yes.
Okay. This is what we call a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Funny story coming up. Is it about the RNC or DNC?
The RNC.
Okay. Yeah. Funny story about the RNC coming up. Denise Lockwood is here from Racine County. We're talking about her times. Ah, yes. The good old days. The RNC and the DNC. Yeah. Only 2 weeks ago. But we're talking about that this morning. But right now it's time for Paul Harvey and the rest of the story on WRJN to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN. Give us a call during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You can be one of four category-exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey's rest of the story. And Paul Harvey's coming up. I just got it off the screen. Coming up right now.
The rest of the story. Blanche Jensen, 72. Homeless except for the refuge of a farmhouse near the German village of Siegendorf, February 1945, the beginning of the end of Germany in the Second World War, and the Russians are coming. The Russians are swarming through the German countryside, looting homes, brutalizing villagers and farm families, and yet the farmhouse where the widow Jensen has sought refuge will be spared the rampaging victors. What awaits any Russian soldiers who might happen to pass by is what you might call a scarecrow. A scarecrow sewn together by Blanche Jensen. You see, Mrs. Jensen and her physician husband were American citizens. They were living in the German city of Dresden. Dr. Jensen died during the war. Blanche was elderly and alone when Dresden burst into flames. Not even the Nazis, the masters of the inconceivable, not even they could conceive of an Allied air attack on that glorious city, defenseless, tactically irrelevant. Dresden had been known for centuries as a world capital of elegance, a showplace of priceless art treasures, splendid architecture, not to mention the birthplace of some of the world's finest and most famous china. And in February 1945, the unimaginable became a reality. The Allies descended from the skies and Dresden died, a death at once incredibly swift and agonizingly slow. 1,200 British and American bombers, 14 hours, 1,600 acres engulfed in a fiery hurricane, 75,000 homes destroyed, an estimated 135,000 lives lost, twice as many as died at Hiroshima, and yet many more were not lucky enough to die. In the streets, the mutilated living cried out, begging their fleeing neighbors to shoot them. Rescue vehicles bound for the countryside refused to accept any animal, no matter how small, and so hundreds of beloved pets were put to death so that their masters might be spared. It was on one such rescue vehicle that 72-year-old Blanche Jensen was transported to safety after 48 hours of huddling in the ruins of Dresden. Yet the remote farmhouse to which she came was almost as vulnerable as that marvelous city had been. So how is it recorded that Mrs. Jensen survived the war and the aftermath, and then returned to the United States? Well, Mrs. Jensen made a scarecrow. She sewed it together from the clothing of fellow refugees, one woman's flannel nightgown, another woman's apron, and the scarecrow worked. It kept at bay the notorious victorious Russians, who otherwise would surely have ransacked the farmhouse and perhaps worse. In fact, the farmhouse where Mrs. Jansen stayed developed such a reputation for security that soon the families from neighboring farms were beseeching Blanche to safekeep their most valued possessions. The homemade scarecrow was spared also. It was handed down to Blanche's daughter, who now prizes it above all that she has. And maybe it is a special prize on this particular day, today. You see, what the resourceful Mrs. Jansen had manufactured on an old treadle sewing machine from a despised red Nazi banner and a white flannel nightgown and a blue kitchen apron, and then displayed above her farmhouse door, was Old Glory. That's right. The American flag. Now you know the rest of the story.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A series of listening sessions will take place across Racine County to discuss a sales tax. Being discussed is a proposed 0.5% sales tax that could generate $20 million annually for property tax relief and essential services. The tax is expected to cost the average resident $126 a year, while potentially offering $150 to $200 in property tax credits. The town of Norway has a session on the 9th, with others planned later in the month in Burlington, Caledonia, and Union Grove. It's Milwaukee's top cop, but his letter to the community yesterday could also include Racine. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman released a letter to the community appealing for public involvement in addressing youth crime. In his message, Norman highlighted recent arrests of teenagers as young as 11 for serious offenses, including armed robbery and a car theft. The chief is calling on youth organizations, parents, and faith leaders to intervene and help educate young people. Kenosha's Harbor District is getting ready for a major transformation. A $450 million downtown redevelopment project kicks off after Labor Day. The first phase includes a five-story apartment building. Eventually, it'll include a nine-block revitalization featuring residential, commercial, and public spaces. Completion of the first building is expected in early 2026. And two Racine schools are set to unveil their renovations with special ribbon-cutting events today. The public can take part, starting with ceremonies at Gerstad Agerholm at 3:30. An event will follow at 4:45 at the new Starbuck International. School starts next week for kids in Racine and Kenosha Unified. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Wisconsin Ag Coalition is hosting a summer farm tour series for state office candidates. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. This coalition is made up of commodity groups, agribusinesses, and processors, including the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Director of Government Relations Jason Munyaini says these farm tours are meant to connect candidates of any party to agriculture.
What this is it's an effort for us to educate candidates and legislators and those looking to seek elected office about agriculture, teach them what it is to grow crops, to have livestock. We want to make sure that people understand what it takes to be successful in the unpredictable world of agriculture. And as you look back in years past, a lot of times we had farmers in the state legislature, and those farmers are kind of, you know, becoming less and less. So as organizations that represent farmers and agribusinesses and different commodities, we want to make sure that we're showcasing our industry.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Director of Government Relations, Jason Munyaini, catching up with us on their fourth stop in the series of 12. We got more agribusiness news coming your way.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
A reminder that you're going to want to get your Packers watch party tickets before they're gone. The fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke and the Wisconsin FFA Foundation are co-hosting this event at Pam's residence in Titletown. This will be the evening of September 6th. The event will not only feature the Packers taking on the Eagles in Brazil, but you'll also enjoy live music and food and drink. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is hosting the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest. This is when they'll crown a Wisconsin-made product as the coolest thing made in our state. Being as we are the Midwest Farm Report, I encourage you to submit an agricultural product. You can do that at madeinwis.com, madeinwis.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Partly cloudy today, our high 77 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, some thunderstorms late tonight, our low 70. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, then clearing by late afternoon with a high of 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Got up early, had breakfast at the International House of Pancakes. You know, as soon as you walk into the place, there's that distinct worldwide feel, huh? I was baffled by the complex international menu, so I just had the flapjack du jour, and my syrup steward helped me with a selection. I chose a very dry maple. It was busy, but never precocious. So I'm a comedian. That's my job. Jobs are funny. There are no hard, fast rules on making it to the top, but a pretty good rule of thumb is if you make it to age 35 and your job still involves wearing a name tag, well, you've probably made a serious vocational error somewhere along the line. I think the easiest job in the world has to be coroner. Surgery on dead people. A lot of leeway there, huh? What's the worst thing that could happen, you know? I mean, if everything went wrong, maybe you get a pulse, you know?
Denise Lockwood is here this morning from Racine County. We're talking about her times at the Republican and the Democratic conventions in Milwaukee and Chicago. Something I wanted to ask you here. What gadget would you miss the most if it was taken away from you?
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Absolutely.
Let me read you what the poll said, and maybe it'll jog your mind a little bit here. The poll said the following. For people under the age of 45, it was their cell phone. They can't live without it. For the majority of people over 45, their television. For people 35 to 44, they'd miss their phones, but they would also miss their tablets and computers. Very few people under the age of 55 would miss newspapers or magazines if they went away.
Oh, you're breaking my heart, man.
I know. Well, I hate to say it, but that category, that last category is...
Yeah, that's kind of close to home.
Yeah. So what would you miss the most if it was taken away from you?
I would probably miss my phone, but I also know that, you know, at the end of the day, how we find information is so much different, right? When we back in the day, you know, we'd actually have to go to the library, or we would have to go down to the courthouse and dig through papers and court records and things like that. We don't have to do that anymore because they send us the criminal complaints. They send us, you know, these electronic things.
You know, when I used to cheat on my my finals in school, I used to have to go to the library and copy out of the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way to cheat. Now you just go to ChatGPT and they write your paper for you. But we had to go to the library because my mother had a set of encyclopedias at home from 1939. And I said, Mom, World War II didn't even start yet. And these encyclopedias, I can't use these for school. Oh, they're still valid. No, they're not. It's from 1939. We're in the 70s here, folks. How am I going to use your...
You knew you were a cool nerd kid if you had the most recent Britannica.
Oh, the encyclopedia. Do they still make them?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Do they still make...
It's probably an online form, but there's so much that Google does.
Oh, I used to love the... I used to like the Golden Book.
I did. They were definitely a want in the Lockwood household, but that was never delivered to me.
Oh, my mother used to go to the supermarket and get a new edition every time she went for the Golden Book Encyclopedia. And I had everything, and I loved the Golden Book Encyclopedia. But I was in college, and I really shouldn't be using the Golden Book Encyclopedia to do my term papers.
Probably not.
So you were going to tell us, now, Denise Lockwood was from Racine County, I, at the Republican and Democratic conventions. You were going to tell me something really funny that happened.
Well, my husband would say don't oversell it, but...
Okay, it's not funny, funny. Okay.
Well, you know, it's got a zinger into it. So you know, I grew up in Ohio. I was raised by a Republican and a Democrat. I literally went to Farmers Union rallies and Lincoln Day dinners and slopped hogs on the same day, right? And so I had this idea of how we were going to cover the RNC and DNC, and I farmed out some other stories to some other news organizations in my professional organization that I belong to. So one of my missives was I had to find the Connecticut delegates to do some interviews for the CT News Junkie, which is a news website out in Connecticut. And so I was trying to find them, and I'm wading through the floor. And going through the floor is like the worst rock concert you've ever been through, right? So you have to like almost body slam people to get through the line. And you're like finding that little space between their shoulders to like wiggle through and things along that line. So I'm navigating this, right? And I'm getting really frustrated. I'm trying to get to Connecticut people, and they were on the floor. And J.D. Vance was actually, I was on the floor when J.D. Vance was nominated, and that was about to happen. And so you could see this and feel the energy in the room shift. And everybody was like trying to rush to the stage. And there's little Denise trying to like swim up river, right? So I'm navigating this, and I finally find the Connecticut delegation. And so I'm talking to these people and I'm doing my interview, and I get this buzz, the text on my phone, and it went off like four times in a row. And I look down, and J.D. Vance is literally coming across the stage, and I look down, and my dad is like, can you get an autograph from Trump? And I'm like, don't, Dad, just don't. And he's like, please?
But you're not a fan. He's have a scribble signature. You can just scribble something.
Right,
here, Dad,
right,
I got this for you.
So I'm like, I disappointed my father greatly, and I'm like, that's just not a thing we do, right? That's not a thing, right? But I think I've disappointed my dad quite a bit.
You should have just scribbled something on a piece of paper. Hey, Dad, I got this for you.
No, that would not be very...
It would be autographed.
Very Lockwood of me.
Very Lockwood.
Yeah.
What are you people, all honest over there?
You
should join my family growing up. Okay, now if you had to say it, whose convention, I hate to say it like this, but whose convention was better? I mean, who generated the most excitement? This is what conventions want to do. They want the convention to end, and they want to get a bump in the polls.
Right.
They want people, they want to generate excitement and enthusiasm for their candidates. And Trump and Vance versus Harris.
Oh, so you want my opinion?
Well, yeah.
You're going to put me in the corner and make me have an opinion.
It's not who's your favorite candidate.
No. Like the energy, I think that there at the RNC, there were definitely differences. And I think a lot of that honestly had to do with the fact that a week prior to that, the assassination attempt had happened on Trump. And so there were a lot of media organizations that didn't show up. And I think that that impacted a lot of people, you know, prevented them from going. So the energy level at the RNC was less than definitely the DNC. And the DNC definitely had a lot more energy. But I also think they were connecting much more with younger voters. and by younger, I mean like 30s and maybe some 20s and things like that. The definite feel, there were no rap songs
at the RNC.
RNC, to my understanding. Now, I wasn't there 24/7.
Is that why they did it, to connect to young people?
I think a lot of it, you know, and it's not, it's how people carry themselves. It's the messaging. It's all of it. It's not just the rap. But, you know, you had a lot more people of color at the DNC, right? So that would be a natural reflection of culture there. And so you had a lot of that. That was definitely apparent. Like the demographic and racial makeup was different at the RNC versus the DNC. That's a fact.
Was Tony Evers getting down with the music at the
Jump Around was their opening music, right?
Was he jumping around?
I can't picture it.
He
was on the other side. So I was on the floor when that happened, but I could not see him. And even on the Tribitron or whatever they have, I couldn't see if he was jumping around. But there was definitely some cheesehead wearing people. And the funny thing is they handed those out at the Wisconsin delegation.
Did they do that at the RNC too, the cheeseheads? I saw them at the DNC, the cheeseheads.
I'm trying to remember if they did or did not. I don't recall seeing cheeseheads, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. So if you had a cheesehead at the RNC and I didn't see it, it doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't have one. So
were you there for the balloon drop?
Yes.
It looks really overwhelming when they fall into all these balloons.
We had left right before the balloon drop.
Oh, you weren't there for the balloon drop?
No, because Heather was still on the floor. She had left like 2 minutes before the ending, because you have to understand the logistics of thousands and thousands and thousands of people leaving the United Center at the same time. And we had to catch the train. So we didn't stay for the balloon drop, but we could see it on TV, and it was just on the other side of the wall. So we actually ended up leaving beforehand.
At the NASA Coliseum on Long Island, they did some kind of political convention there once. And they did the balloon drop, but a lot of the balloons got stuck in the rafters.
Yeah.
And for the next 20 to 30 years, they were still dangling because they couldn't get to them.
Oh, I imagine.
And there were these dead balloons. You could just see them. If you looked up when you're watching a New York Nets game, before the Nets moved to Brooklyn, you go to a Nets game or a New York Islanders game, and you could see some of the balloons 30 years later. Still on the ceiling. Now they tore down the Nassau Coliseum. They probably got the balloons. But they got stuck up there.
Yeah.
And they're not going to, you know, hire some crew to come in and take two balloons down. Only if you knew they were up there would you see them.
Yeah.
So I wonder how many balloons got stuck in the rafters of these places.
There was a lot of balloons because you could see them hanging. They were there the whole week.
I would love to have a pin as they're coming down. Pop, 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 pop. I just love doing that. Well, you wanted to talk about, after the break, you wanted to mention some farm information. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And there was something else you said.
The WMC.
Was there something else?
Well, there was that was about the gist of it. I can weave in the things that I got you.
Okay, we're going to weave. Okay.
We're going to weave.
And by the way, I just want to say I was very proud of our company, Civic Media. Not only did they have a presence on Media Row, they actually did their live talk shows from there.
Wow.
And that's something. And all that chaos.
It is a lot of chaos to concentrate
on the live radio show and Civic Media. I mean, I was really knocked out how they put. Now, we had a whole crew down there. We had engineers for the equipment. We had a crew. We had Catherine Lake, who runs our Madison station. She was down there because she's from Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And so she was down there. But we had like a staff of people to run this thing on Media Row. I said, wow, that's a lot of, they had to bring equipment in, they had to bring backdrops, it's a big thing when you're down there at the convention, and then you got to take it all down.
I know.
How much time do you think they give you to take it down?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
Okay. It's 7:48, local news, Tamla Sitz with Well, you're not playing the timeless hits. But Denise Lockwood is here from Racine County. We're talking about the RNC, DNC. We're going to talk about farming coming up in just a moment here at WRJN.
The Franksville Food Truck Festival is back at the Franksville Craft Beer Garden September 6th and 7th, featuring 25 food trucks. Enjoy live music both nights from 6 to 9 with FM Rodeo on Friday and Landline on Saturday. Kids can have a blast in the bounce houses while the adults enjoy Wisconsin craft beer. And don't miss the Friday night Packers viewing party. It all kicks off at 5 p.m. on September 6th. Get all the details at FranksvilleFoodTruckFestival.com. The festival is brought to you in part by Visit Racine County and Enjoy Mount Pleasant.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Looking for the best sandwiches in town? All Labor Day weekend, indulge in the mouth-watering flavors of Lee's Deli at the Por La Gente softball tournament at Island Park. Whether you're craving cold subs, hot sandwiches, or crispy fried appetizers, the new mobile concession system ensures you won't miss a second of the excitement. Discover why Lee's Deli has been Racine's go-to sandwich shop for over 50 years. Visit the deliciousness of Lee's Deli at the Por La Gente softball tournament through Labor Day weekend at Island Park.
Take the first step towards a more independent life. Test drive a Golden or Pry Power chair or scooter and reclaim your freedom with Easy Mobility Solutions. Lightweight, durable, portable, affordable. Crafted for the utmost comfort and convenience. Visit Southeastern Wisconsin's trusted choice for power mobility solutions. An authorized Pride and Golden dealer backed by the Never Pay MSRP guarantee. Stop by the Easy Mobility Solutions showroom across the street from the old Kmart on Douglas Avenue in Racine.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Hey, we're here with Denise Lockwood from Racine County. We're talking about the conventions, but I wanted to get this, and you wanted to talk about WMC and the farm bill.
Yeah, well, the farming, definitely. Yeah. So, fun fact about Denise, I started my career actually writing about farming for the Firelands Farmer in Ohio. It actually was...
You're not going to start crying now.
No. I'm settled in, although I have cried a lot. Just some background. My mom and dad live in Worcester, Ohio, and they have a farm about 6 acres on rural Route 3, just north of town, right next to the John Deere dealership, and they're auctioning off their house and moving to Florida. And so I literally just got in last night from hanging out and sifting through all of Ma and Pa Lockwood's photos and his Navy stuff. And it was a beautiful time, but it was emotional. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of breaks my heart. But at the end of the day, you know, one of the things that happened there are some people that we usually go see. And one of the people, it's Gail Schultz and her significant other, Ben. And Ben sells crop insurance, and we went out for dinner and we just caught up and we were talking about, the RNC and DNC and the platforms. And, we started talking about how this would impact farm. And because Racine County has, quite a bit of farming still, I was thinking on the way back from the DNC, wow, I should really dig into what both of these platforms would mean, so that people can understand a little bit more about how this would impact them. And so my little farming news nerd came out, because when I started writing about farming, I ended up doing a series of interviews with an ag economist and talked about sustainable farming and things along that line. But it really opened my eyes around how much change has occurred with farming and how we do it and what we do and with the land and things along that line. And I was like, wow, I should probably, dust off some of my farm knowledge and start working on some of that, because I think it's really important. And kind of dovetailing in with like the immigration pieces of it, there's still so much migrant workers are a big part of how we get a lot of the food from farm to table, right? So I was like, gosh, we should really think about what that means too. And quite a few like weeks ago, probably right before the RNC, I had a conversation with Kurt Bauer, I should say, from the Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce Group, about immigration. And one of the things that he's really frustrated with is the over-politicization of the conversation around immigration. And so we're going to dig into that pretty hard, because I think the conversations need to be rooted A, in reality, B, really thinking about how we open doors and close doors. And I think that's a really important storyline of what some of these policies potentially could mean to farming.
Do you know, talking about immigration, except for Native Americans, our families are all immigrants.
Right.
Every single one of us, yeah. Unless you're a Native American, we're all immigrants. And when I hear people talk about stop immigration, well, you wouldn't be here if at one time we stopped immigration.
Right.
You'd still be with an Irish brogue, or you'll be with a German accent, or a British accent. So I know we don't know what George Washington sounded like. There's no record of it. But did he have a British accent? Because he was British.
That's a good question.
All our founding fathers were British.
I've actually read quite a few of some biographies about Washington. And I read Letters to Abigail. Abigail is John Adams' wife. And the group of the founding fathers and Jefferson and things along that line. And they didn't talk about like how he sounded and like any type of that, because they had the letters. They didn't have the sound.
Well,
that is a good question.
When Steven Spielberg made the movie Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis,
Right. They
said, we don't know what he sounds like. So they went to the writings, and there was a description in one of the writings of Lincoln's voice. Now, when you think of Abraham Lincoln, think of, 4 scores, big, but he didn't have a deep voice. He had almost a high pitch type of voice. And that's what Daniel Day-Lewis used in the movie. He didn't use a big voice. But we don't know what these people sounded like. I mean, did Washington get up there and say, I'm going to cross the Delaware, mate? I mean, that's Australian. Right, but right. They, I mean, where's my mum? I mean, because they were British.
Right.
So I don't know. Is it interesting?
I mean, that's a good question. Yeah. It depends, because like, that's a really good question.
Well, now you got a story.
See,
you
now
can
I'm
do.
Not gonna. No, that's not a story. I have enough story, Don Rosen, to fill my days, our days, for a very long time.
So, what's the big story you're working on at Racine County Eye?
I've got right now. It's on the King Center, the Lincoln King Center,
right?
And so I have to catch up, because I haven't been able to do a lot of the things that I normally do, because I've been helping Lockwood land move.
Living Lockwood.
Living Lockwood. Yeah. So that's it's Lincoln King Center. Now, so there was some really hot discussion I saw at the Common Council meeting. They passed it, but there were some really interesting questions about how the ARPA money is being used. The city of Racine received $46 million. Part of that is going to the Lincoln King Community Center, which includes not just a community center, but a federally qualified health clinic, which is really a game changer when you think about there are three areas of Racine that are federally designated distressed communities. And so there's a lot of housing instability, income instability, education non-attainment. There's a lot that goes into the recipe of what makes up a distressed community, but really being able to holistically treat and help kids and families and really help people be okay. And the conversation, I'm working through listening to all of that discussion right now. So that's one of the things.
Well, I've got two alders coming in next week. We have David Mack will be on Labor Day.
Yeah.
And I've got Melissa Caprillion.
Fabulous. And actually, both of them will have a lot to say about the Lincoln Kings.
Oh, they got mouths on them.
Yes.
Yeah, we're good on that. And
not shy.
And Melissa, what's that?
Not shy.
Yeah. And that's, she's also on the county board.
Right.
Melissa.
Right.
And she's also in the running of the food bank in Kenosha.
Her plate is very full as well. Yeah.
But she found time to come in here.
That is lovely.
Yeah. Denise Lockwood, I'm so happy that you're here. I feel sad that you were sad saying goodbye to your parents' homestead.
Yes.
It didn't look like, you know, the grapes of wrath when they were leaving, did you? Loading up the truck.
No.
The Jode family leaving the family farm.
Yeah.
Didn't look like that, did it?
No.
Okay. Good having you here.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You're a good talker and you get a great smile on your face.
Thank you.
All right.